Laura Ingram joining me here on Talk Radio 570 KVI this morning. Hey, Laura, how you doing? Yes, we patterned that after you. Thanks very much for being here.
Sorry, I thought I was on. Oh, sorry. They told me I was doing an interview with the Animal Planet this morning. I'm sorry. Hey, guys.
For a brief moment, you sounded like the Saranov brothers' mother.
Oh, no. By the way, remember, I've adopted two Russian boys. So yes. I spent a lot of time in Russia. I lived in the old Soviet Union back in the mean old mid-1980s. So mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with the way Russian women, how difficult they can be. In a good way, of course.
Hey, Laura, I as soon as I saw this story, I said, oh, good, I get to talk to Laura about this. I want to know what her take is. The president repeatedly warned Syria, don't use chemical weapons, don't use nerve gas, don't even think about it, because if you do, a red line will be crossed. Now, he obviously said that thinking that they wouldn't, but they have. So now what does the president do?
Yeah, well, again, people who are following this, they say, well, how could the president say this and not follow through? And I would say, well, how could the president say he was going to cut the deficit by half? How could the president say we were going to bring unemployment down to 7%? I mean, how could the president say that Obamacare was going to deliver us lower costs and a more efficient, more patient-friendly system? I mean, this is just one in a series of whoppers the president has pulled, and I would say, John, that in the end, Obama doesn't really take this job all that seriously. I mean, the idea of governing and having a mature adult approach to very serious policies and the question of going into Syria is a huge one, right?
Yeah.
He kind of tosses off this line about chemical weapons. Well, you know, if that stuff starts moving around, I think that's what he said, that a bunch of that stuff just starts moving around, then that's a red line. Well, first of all, I think after Iraq, a lot of people are extremely cautious about these supposed bright line findings on things like chemical weapons, whether it's
right
or not.
Uh-huh.
And number two, John, I think the country is overwhelmingly of the view that we overstretched our military, we taxed our people. We lost a lot of good men, spent a lot more home limbless and with PTSD and suffering from suicide. And the idea of I think, going into Syria, I know there's a lot of neoconservative friends of mine that think, like John McCain, well, we should have gone in there a long time ago. Well, exactly what support are we going to get from the American people to go into that now?
Well, I like what Robert Gates said. I mean, this is the difference between your neoconservatives and your conservatives.
I'm not a neoconservative. I'm a Ronald Reagan classic conservative that believes you have to be judicious in the use of government and military force.
Right. I mean, we didn't go into Nicaragua. We contracted it out, which is, I think, how you handle those things. But Robert Gates said anyone who believes in committing U.S. Ground forces to any Middle Eastern war or Asian war, I'd have his head examined.
Yeah, what did we really gain, sadly, from Iraq? I mean, we certainly didn't get the oil. It seems like more people in that part of the world hate us now. We've displaced millions of Christians who've lost their home. Their ancestral homelands are gone.
Mm-hmm.
We never talk about what's happening to those people. And yet we're supposed to embark upon another nation building as President Bush called it, the freedom agenda in the Middle East. The freedom agenda has brought us the Muslim Brotherhood.
Do you think the Arab Spring really was the an Islamist spring?
I think it was the fall of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was the idea that somehow you just transplant American values in a part of the world that is completely different, with totally different culture, different background, thousands of years of history. Complicated history, it's not a conservative approach. Conservatives look at the world the way it is, not a idealized version of what we want it to be. It doesn't mean you can't support people and do all sorts of things to support freedom, freedom efforts and freedom, even freedom fighters, but the idea of military involvement when we are still not recovered from the two wars that we're still not finished with. It's ludicrous. It's a suicide mission for the Republican Party. I can tell you that. It almost destroyed the Republican Party in 2008, 2006.
Well, with
last election.
With all that as prelude, let me ask you, Laura. And again, if you're just joining me, Laura Ingraham is my guest this morning on the John Carlson Show. They had the dedication of the George W. Bush Presidential Library yesterday. How are you feeling about George Bush?
Well, I've been extremely critical of President Bush. I like him a lot as a person. I think he's a really good person. I think he's a really good man. I think he loves this country. My difference with him is a philosophical difference. Again, this idea that we can use U.S. force to spread this, to spread freedom around the world, which I think is at the heart of the fissure in the Republican Party right now. That we can have an American greatness conservatism where you spend a lot of money to try to make the country a more quote moral or equitable place, as we saw with the Medicare Part D expansion that he worked on with Ted Kennedy, the prescription drug plan. And I think in the end, John, you have to ask yourself, how many Republicans in tightly contested Senate races will want to show the photos on the campaign trail and ad of their appearing with George W. Bush?
Yeah, I think
are people going to really just campaign as Bush conservatives? I don't think so.
No, I think that Americans' attitudes about George Bush are softening and warming up, but I don't think Americans miss him.
Not toward the policies.
Yeah, the policies, right. Yeah, on immigration, on spending, and abroad, I don't think the American people have changed their opinions at all.
No. The latest, I think it was Gallup poll, showed that. I mean, we tend to want to view our former presidents in more charitable light, because if you hold on to this Bush anger, it is bad feeling toward Bush, it after a while it makes you feel icky, right?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people say, well, look, he has a grandfather, he's a painting, he has a lovely family, and he seems like he's a kind-hearted, good man. That's all true. But that can be true, and his policies, ultimately, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, could have also been ruinous to the Republican Party and led to our erosion in credibility on spending, on foreign policy. And I would say on the immigration issue, the rule of law, I think we lost credibility in all three areas, largely because of these Bush policies.
And that's
where I am on Bush. I think I have a clear-eyed view on what his administration accomplished. We lost the presidency, we lost the House, and we lost the Senate by the time Bush left office.
Because we lost our identity.
I think
the Republican Party lost its identity as a conservative party.
Were his policies conservative? Was Iraq and Afghanistan, in retrospect, was that those conservative uses of the U.S. military?
We only have about a minute left, so I wanted to ask you about, wanted to wind up here and ask you about immigration, what you think should happen, Laura, and more importantly, what you think ultimately will happen on Capitol Hill.
I am so tired of hearing, quote, something has to be done. You have to do something. Something has to be done. That's exactly what they said about health care in 2009. The system has broken. We have to do something. Well, of course, then we get a behemoth bill that is giving a huge amount of discretion to Kathleen Sebelius at HHS, and that ultimately is wildly unpopular because it is not good for the regular working class person in the United States. And I submit on this, is anything in this bill going to help legal immigrants and American citizens become more prosperous or more safe? That's the number one and number two criteria for any piece of legislation. And I would submit that the bill does more to assuage the feelings and the comfort and the lifestyle of people who are here illegally than it does to help the regular people in this country who are struggling with low wages and underemployment.
And I think the bill makes suckers out of legal immigrants, people who play by the rules.
Well, it does that, and also I tell you what will happen is in 2014, Barack Obama and Janet Napolitano saying, you know, these Republicans insisted on all these restrictions in this bill and all this waiting period, and you're supposed to deliver documentation, and, you know, this is just impractical. These requirements, they just don't work in the real world, and we have to waive a number of these provisions. Because working good people in this country who came here a long time ago and are good people, they don't deserve to have to jump through these hoops. And then what is Marco Rubio going to say?
Well, and that's what I wanted to conclude on Marco Rubio, because I'm a Marco Rubio fan. I supported him over Charlie Crist in Florida, and I think he's stepping in it. Because
I wrote a piece on LauraIngraham.com on my website that a lot of people are kind of cribbing from today. But it's basically Marco Rubio ran as a Tea Party conservative. I had him on my show when he was 22 points down against Crist, and he ends up making common cause with Barack Obama, Janet Napolitano, the Sierra Club, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin. Case closed.
No, it's a compelling case, because I can't see, I said this to Pat Buchanan the other day, I can't see the immigration bill, especially if it passes, becoming any more popular with the passage of time. I think it becomes less popular because it's based on the same principles as Simpson-Mazzoli, and under Simpson-Mazzoli, illegal immigration quadrupled.
Yeah, well, it ends up being a Democrat voter registration drive, because it'll be 2016, and Hillary will be running against Jeb or someone else, and the Republicans will think they're inoculated against any criticism or any ill will from the Hispanic vote. And I will tell them then that, guess what? They will make shorter waiting times. They will propose eliminating fines, bringing in more family members, and then the Republicans are again going to try to have to beat the Democrats at
right.
their own game of excusing illegal behavior. And that's a no-win scenario for Republicans, a no-win.
Absolutely. Laura Ingraham, it's so great having you here. One of these days, we're going to bring you out to Seattle.
Oh, I'm supposed to come sometime this year, so hopefully we'll work on a great event with the station and have a lot of fun listeners. You and I have to do a joint event. We should do that.
That would be great. Thanks a lot. Laura Ingraham, of course, check out LauraIngraham.com. Thanks again for being here, Laura. Appreciate it.
I love you guys. See you later.
Woo-hoo!